This is Vatican Radio. The Holy Door in St. Peter's Basilica will close this Sunday, marking the end of the Jubilee of Mercy. Over the past year, dioceses around the world have organised initiatives, and here in Rome there have been various Jubilee events, including the Jubilee for Prisoners, the Disabled and the Homeless. The Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization was charged with organising the Holy Year of Mercy, and its English language official, Father Eugene Silva, spoke to me, Lydia O'Kane, about some of the highlights and its legacy.
Well, first of all, I mean, as an official having had the opportunity to work on the Jubilee over the last year or more, I have to be honest, it's really bittersweet now that it's coming to an end. I mean, there's a part of me personally that's saying, oh, whew, you know, it's finished. But there's also a part of me that's really sad because it's been just such a time of grace, not only here in Rome, but all around the world. And to hear the stories from people in Thailand or the United States or South Africa of what initiatives they performed as a response to the Holy Father's invitation to really living fully this Jubilee of Mercy every day, and as well as here in Rome, the number of people coming and the stories. But for me personally as a priest, I think what has been so inspiring is the number of people who've returned home to the sacrament of God's mercy, to the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Every one of the large events that have been scheduled here in Rome, this office has always provided opportunities for people to receive the sacrament of penance and reconciliation in their own languages. And so to hear people that have been away from the sacrament for 25, 35, 40 years and are coming home, and when you ask them why they're coming back, they'll say, well, because the Holy Father invited us. So for me personally as a priest, that has really, really inspired me. But also I have to say, and this might be for your listeners, they might not know anything of this, but every day here in Rome to keep the Jubilee running and to really reserve and preserve the spiritual authenticity for the pilgrims, it takes anywhere from 50 to 100 volunteers a day. So every week, there's a new group of 100 volunteers, and they're dressed in yellow vests, and they stand out in the rain and the sun just to protect the spiritual journeys and make sure that the pilgrims are not disturbed in their pilgrimage through the Holy Door. So for me, getting to know these women and men that come from all over the world, many of whom don't speak English, and so they, you know, they have their translation app on their phone, and they're on the main street, and they're trying to communicate, but that's been really inspiring as well. I could go on and on. And I think another aspect of it is that I think this Jubilee, I hear so many people talking about, how do we continue it? How do we continue on after the Holy Door closes? Because I know, it's not that I think, that so many people have accepted the invitation of Pope Francis to gaze upon God's mercy, that they have found such refreshment and new life and spirituality and vitality in it, that they want to continue to not only continue to bask in God's mercy and forgiveness, but to also be instruments of that mercy and forgiveness. And an example, I got an email from a pastor in the United States, and his parish to close the Jubilee is working on reaching a certain goal that the people accomplish, I don't know how many thousands of corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and the parishioners have to write them down. And what he's done is he's had the logo of the Jubilee printed on a special paper made out of seeds. And what he's going to do when the Holy Year closes, he's going to take all those pieces of paper that on which are written from young and old, all the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and he's going to wrap them all in the logo of the seed paper and bury it so that the tree that grows from the acts of mercy are going to be a continual reminder. I just think it's a beautiful symbol. But that's one of the things going on in the local churches to live it.
You mentioned there the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, which have been really one of the top things that Pope Francis has talked about, getting to know them, putting these works of mercy into action.
we had the Jubilee for prisoners. We had the Jubilee for the homeless. Seeing these people in St. Peter's Basilica, seeing that dedication that Pope Francis had to bring these people and say, you know, this is what you should be doing. How much did that, do you think that echoes out?
Well, Lydia, I think those last two events that we've had have resonated all around the world. And to bring those who are imprisoned to the Basilica to celebrate together with us, their families, the guards, judges, but also those who are socially marginalized and challenged last Sunday, but also that these people were able to serve at the Mass also was, I mean, it brought me to tears on Sunday. The people that were holding the candles during the consecration in front of the altar of the confession, people who, you know, battle poverty and are doing the best they can, and yet the fullness of their dignity was so evident to all the world, and their smiles. It was just like the Jubilee for those with disabilities, when those who served were those who are living with particular disabilities. That I just think this Jubilee of Mercy is a reminder to all of us of the fullness of dignity in each woman and man, young or old, no matter what disability, no matter what mistakes we've made, that we're all broken, we're all wounded, we're all in need of forgiveness. And yet, we all have a duty to treat each other with tenderness and with mercy. I know I've been so personally challenged during this Jubilee in a wonderful way, but it's sometimes to be challenged is not comfortable. And it's, you know, it makes us look at ourselves and how we live and how we act and even how we think. And this is just the beauty and the gift of Pope Francis, because he continues to lovingly challenge us and to kind of touch delicately on maybe the chink in our armor of spirituality and kind of leading us through it to a place of better holiness and deepening conversion. But it's never easy if it's authentic. And so how do we continue this after the Holy Door closes? I mean, how do we continue to keep our hearts open to mercy, to not be women and men of resentment but of forgiveness? And this has to go on. But I think there's been such a spark started in the lives of so many tens of millions of people during the Jubilee that I'm so excited to see how it goes on.
Would it be fair to say that this has been a Jubilee more outside Rome than Rome itself?
It's a great question. I think, again, because of my work, I'm very much focused on what's happening here in Rome. But it has been celebrated so beautifully all around the world. I think of just an experience of the 24 Hours for the Lord, where churches all around the world open for the Sacrament of Penance and Reconciliation. But I have to be honest, the number of pilgrims that have come to Rome, that have registered to go through, I mean, we're over 20 million that have registered to be here for the Jubilee. I mean, it's just, the numbers are staggering, wonderfully so. For example, I mean, the Jubilee for catechists, that a group of 90 catechists from Thailand could save up their money to make a pilgrimage to Rome, to be a part of it, to be a part of the catechesis, to be a part of the celebration with the Holy Father. But also, yeah, I've spoken to people that are, whether pastors or pastoral associates or lay leaders, that have worked so hard to provide Jubilee experiences and celebrations for the homebound, for people in hospitals around the world. So I think it's trickled out all around the world.
A lot of people have been calling this the social media Jubilee. Would you agree with that?
A social media Jubilee. I guess, I mean, the coverage has been wonderful, and there has been a lot of media attention about it. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's not my... I'm not an expert.
This is the first one that's really had that attention of all the different social media behind it, I suppose, Twitter, as compared to 2000 or...
Yeah, well, I guess so, because of the timing of it. Now we're in that age. And even just looking at it from our perspective, I mean, Archbishop Fisichella had invited every bishop around the world to send the email address of one contact person from his diocese so that we could receive information that's taking place in the local churches, but also we could be in contact electronically with each diocese. So yeah, there's not only social media, but also just electronic connections.
So that's been a huge help.
Oh yeah, that's been a great help for us. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I just want to come back to what you were talking about. Where do we go? What is the legacy of the Jubilee, and what is the next step?
Well, I think if we look at it, the Jubilee, if we place it within the context of the whole process and pastoral plan of the new evangelization, that I think that this is an important step that we need to continue along in the path of the new evangelization, that as we continue to invite people back home to the church and to the practice of the faith and to a personal encounter with Christ, I think we've become absolutely consciously aware that mercy, that a God who is love, that love expressed as mercy concretely, is the very means by which we can invite people back and home and to dialogue and to discussion. So I think we continue it as now the kind of pastoral direction for the new evangelization.
How important is it for people to heed the message of mercy, especially in the world in which we live today, which is at times not very easy?
And I think this goes back to the Holy Father's desire to call this Jubilee of Mercy because of the world being riddled with such violence today, that in the face of such violence, we as Christians need to confront it with mercy and with love. And I think that not only has the Holy Father continued to model that for us, he also inspires us to be that as well.